Welcome to Welcome to Think and Grow Rich International Mastermind Blog Talk Radio Show. Today we have a very special guest. Our guest today is Simon T. Bailey. Simon T. Bailey is an innovator, educator, writer, a person of brilliance whose life purpose is to teach 1 billion people how to be fearless and create their future. We are excited today to have Simon join us and hold with us for just one moment, and we will allow your life, encourage your life to be changed.
Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you for listening. Simon T. Bailey, good morning. How are you today?
Good morning. Good to be with you. Thank you for having me.
We are very excited in having you to join us today. As you know, we are walking through the book Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill, and many of our listeners' lives have been changed, encouraged, inspired, and uplifted by reading the book Think and Grow Rich. And just following you for many years, from your Disney experience through your walk through the National Speakers Association, I personally have watched and followed your journey. And it was awesome to hear you share that your life also has been impacted by the book Think and Grow Rich. Can you share with us and our listeners a little about yourself, and then we'll go to our questions?
Well, I grew up in Buffalo, New York, left Buffalo, moved to Atlanta, and from Atlanta moved to Orlando. I've been in Orlando for about 26 years now, and I professionally have worked for 6 different companies, 10 different jobs over the last 30 years, and currently I work with organizations and individuals to teach them how to be fearless and create their future, and I absolutely love what I do. My proudest accomplishment above and beyond all of that is that I am the father to Daniel, my soon-to-be college freshman, and Madison, my baby girl, who is a junior in high school.
And, of course, your beautiful wife. We want to make sure we mention her.
well, that is very kind. I'm actually divorced now, so I'm not married anymore.
Listen. Inquiring minds, we did post your awesome photos, so inquiring minds do want to know. So, ladies, just take note. All right, so, Simon, we talked earlier about the book Think and Grow Rich and the impact it has had on your life. Can you share with us how did the book come into your experience in your life?
Think and Grow Rich found me at a time when I was at the lowest point in my life. It was about 30 years ago, and actually 35 years ago, my mom and dad had dropped me off at Morehouse College in Atlanta, Georgia, and at the end of my freshman year of school, they said, "We don't have the money to send you back for your sophomore year, nor do we have money to bring you back home to Buffalo, but we do love you." And I dropped out of Morehouse, moved into a drug-infested community in the southwest part of Atlanta, Georgia, only had a mattress on the floor, bright green beanbag from the 70s, cup of milk crates turned over with a black and white TV on top of it, with a hanger hanging out of the back of the TV with a piece of aluminum foil wrapped around the hanger. And it's probably one of the lowest points of my life. And I had basically given up because here I was, 19 years of age, lost as a goose in a blizzard, trying to find my way. And that's when I stumbled upon Think and Grow Rich. And as I began to read it, it began to breathe life into me to hope again. And as I began to apply many of the principles, I think probably the faith principle being the greatest one that impacted me, really kind of reframed my mindset not to give up, but to look up and move forward.
Wow, you just reminded me of something that I read in the book this week, and for our listeners, I'll read it. It talks about, it's in the faith chapter, and it talks about the fact that Abraham Lincoln was a failure at everything he tried until he was well past the age of 40. He was a Mr. Nobody from nowhere until a great experience came into his life, aroused the sleeping genius within his heart and brain, and gave the world one of its truly great men. And I would like to suggest and propose that the sleeping giant has risen within your heart and your brain, and currently you are giving the world and being one of our truly great men. And I say that, Simon, from watching you and following your journey. And I really want to publicly say that your story is our story. And as you shared right this moment about that that other self being awakened, can you take us just a little further into that journey? What did you do next after you picked up the book and read it? Because we know it was not instantaneous.
Right. Well, I think one thing you do after you pick up the book, you have to decide on what's the next easiest step. So many people want to quantum leap into the future, but it starts with putting one foot in front of the other. So for me, that step simply meant transferring my 1 year of credits over to Georgia State University, going to school at night, and finding a job. My father, who was an immigrant from Jamaica 60 years ago to Florida, taught me that the best hand that will feed you in any economy is the one at the end of your wrist. So what I quickly recognized is I had to get a job. And I got a job at a hotel making $5.10 an hour. And as I continued to read the book, my wealth consciousness and my belief in myself begin to expand. And what I discovered, it's not who you are that holds you back from being your most brilliant self. It's who you think you're not. And what Think and Grow Rich enabled me to do is to focus on who I was becoming instead of who I was at the time. So I was able to go to school, finish school. It took me about 10 years to do it, to get my undergrad and my master's degree. But during that time, what Think and Grow Rich continued to do was to build my hope and my faith in a better future. Because what I quickly began to understand is that a hopeless person is a hurtful person. And when a person is hurting because they have no hope, they begin to impact those around them. But a hopeful person is a helpful person, because now you recognize it's not just about you, but it's about everyone else around you.
And I think that that's an awesome point to take a moment and go to a commercial break and introduce my co-host of the show. But this is just phenomenal, because everything you're sharing for all of us who are on this journey to success, we're either in that moment that you're sharing in terms of hopeful helping, or we're approaching that moment to share and others are sharing with us. So with that, mm-hmm. We're going to go to a commercial break and we will be right back.
You're listening to this edition of
Radio Program.
Sorry. Go ahead, Thomasina. My apologies.
You're listening to this edition of the Think and Grow Rich Blog Talk Radio Program of the International Mastermind Association. We invite you to join us on January 5th, 2019, the first Saturday of the year, for our annual accountability meeting. This is your opportunity to jumpstart your year, set your goals, and develop strategies for holding yourself accountable to meeting those goals. January 5th, the first Saturday in 2019. For information about the program, please check out the link on our website at blogtalkradio.com/masterminders with an S.
Thank you so very much, Thomasina. I'm just so excited about the show. I'm jumping to conclusions and other commercials. So, Simon, to come back to what we shared, I was talking to Thomasina, and Thomasina is my co-host for today's show. My name is Ann McMillan. I am the Master Builder, helping people to build stronger and better lives and businesses through utilizing the mastermind concept of Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill. And my awesome co-host today is Thomasina Williams, who has some very special information to share for this first day of the new day of her new journey. Welcome again to the show, Thomasina. Please share.
Thank you, Anne, and it's great to be with you, Simon. Anne is referring to the fact that today is the first day since I have launched my own practice. I am a family enterprise consultant. I essentially do leadership development for families that own businesses and help them to focus on developing their human capital, because we recognize that the most precious asset that any of us have is really who we are and not what we own. I'm pleased to be with you today.
Well, thank you. And we're talking with Simon T. Bailey, and Simon is the Chief Executive Officer of Simon T. Bailey International. He has more than 30 years' experience in the hospitality industry, including serving as sales director for Disney Institute, and has worked with more than 1,600 organizations in over 45 countries. Thank you again, Simon, for joining us. And we were just talking about taking that next step and making sure that people understand what to do next. Now, your journey, as you shared, about having 10 years to complete 2 degrees and beginning to build your faith and going from hopelessness to hopefulness, if you will, can you share with us the journey then from your Disney experience to where you are today?
Yes, there came a point in my time at Disney where I recognized that there was more in me to accomplish in the world. And for everyone that is listening to us around the world, when it is time for you to go to another dimension of possibility and brilliance, you will come to a place where you become uncomfortable being comfortable. You'll wake up 3 o'clock in the morning, going to the refrigerator, open the refrigerator door, not taking anything out of the refrigerator door, closing it shut, because there is a hole in your soul. There is a thirst in your spirit for a new dimension. And so when you begin to pay attention to that, that is a sign that your season is getting ready to shift. So for me, there came a point in my Disney career when I had to let go of what was comfortable and convenient, i.e. paycheck, and I had to let come what wanted to emerge, and that was this new possibility of impacting millions of lives all over the world. So one day I got a call from a journalist. Whenever you work at Disney, Mickey Mouse rule number one is you never talk to the media unless authorized. I got a call from a journalist, and he said, "Where do you see yourself 10 to 15 years from now?" And I said, "I see myself as the president and CEO of the Walt Disney World Resort and eventually the chairman and CEO of the Walt Disney Company." He puts this in print. The article comes out, page 12, Florida Business Trend Magazine, February 2002. Still Google it to this day. And my boss called me in the office, and he said, "What were you thinking when you did this interview?" And I said, "I work at this company whose motto is, if your heart is in your dreams, no request is too extreme, for when you wish upon a star, it makes no difference who you are, but obviously it does here." Now, funny today, not funny then, but that became the catalyst for me really beginning to embrace the destiny that was in front of me. So I reached that point where a human resources showed up and asked me to sign a piece of paper that went into my personnel file for, you know, insubordination, basically saying that I wanted to become the number one guy at Disney. And Disney didn't fire me that day. But about a year later, I heard the footsteps coming, and they were not singing, "It's a Small World After All." So I decided that in that year that I would begin to think about the future. Mm-hmm. Yep.
You know, I'm still laughing every time I hear this story. It just resonates with all of us. This is all of our story, and this is what the faith walk looks like. Because as you continue on that staircase up, oftentimes decisions are made for us by the universe, by our desires, and by our dreams, by our calling, that we sometimes would not necessarily make those decisions for ourselves. And once that happened, can you walk us through what happened next? Because you don't all of a sudden become an international professional speaker, coach, author, all of a sudden. What happened next?
So I put my resume out on the street because I was still kind of testing to see if I had the wherewithal to make this move. And I got 4 job offers, and I turned them all down because Disney had sent me to Paris a few years prior to me leaving. And while I was in Paris, I was on the stage, and Lion King had just come out, and I said, remember who you are. You are more than what you have become, which is the famous line from Lion King. And why that line in the movie was so poignant for me is because Simba had lost his way, but his father was reminding him of what he was carrying in him. And so when I said yes to that, I went back to my room that night in Paris, and I asked myself 3 questions. Question number 1, what would I do if I knew I couldn't fail? Question number 2, what would I do if no one paid me to do it? And question number 3, what makes me come alive? And when I answered all of those questions, I said, I want to speak, write, train, consult, and coach. And as I begin to answer those questions, the universe began to open up pathways and doors for me to say no to all 4 of those job offers and to literally step out on faith when our country was going to war with Iraq for the 2nd time. Corporations were laying off by the hundreds of thousands. All of a sudden, I told everybody around me, I said, I'm going to go for it. I'm going to make this move. I'm going to do what is uncomfortable and inconvenient. And what I discovered is if it's easy, everyone would be doing it. Because success is really inconvenient. To the degree that you're willing to become inconvenient is the degree that you're willing to discover the success that's waiting to emerge. So the moment you say yes to the universe, yes to the faith that you have in your spirit, yes to the thing that's most alive in you, all of a sudden you come to a place called there. And when you reach that place called there, there are those that have been waiting for you to get there so that they can nudge you, push you, feed information to you that allows you to get down the path. But first of all, we have to start to follow the breadcrumbs of opportunity that eventually lead us to the bakery of possibility.
I cannot write fast enough. The breadcrumbs to the bakery. Thomasina, do you have something you'd like to share, ask?
Well, I'm just sitting here taking it all in. This is a pretty phenomenal testimony, Simon. I'm so grateful that you're here with us to share with the listening audience. One of the things that is running through my mind as I listen to your story, and you talked about having a wealth consciousness and saying yes to the universe, I was interested in the characterization of you as a leadership imagineer. Can you share with our audience where that comes from?
Well, one of the terms that's or titles at Disney is our imagineers. An imagineer is a word that is the combination of imagination and engineering. So anything that exists at Disney first starts as a seed in the imagination of the creator and then the engineering ability to bring it to pass is how that happens. When I talk about being a leadership imagineer, one of the things that I've been teaching over the last few years is leaders have been taught through theory and through listening to a lot of folks that the job of a leader is to motivate and to inspire people to do more. And that is correct, but that's only half of the story. The job of a leader is to invite people on a journey to discover themselves while they're following that leader. So a leader can never take people to a place that he or she has not seen or has not been themselves. But once they have been there, done that, they have been on the journey, they have done the work, they have imagined a better future and a bigger possibility, then they can lead people down the path. Because when I understand who you really are as a person, it's about me inviting you to catch what I've learned so you can discover the leader within yourself. So leading and leadership is not about telling, it's about asking. And when I help people ask questions about their journey, they become curious to find their breakthrough. The job of a leader is to never just hear, but to listen. Because sometimes when leaders listen, they have selective hearing, but brilliant leadership is authentic listening. And the same letters that spell the word listen spell the word silent. So when I am a leader on the journey to unlocking a better future, I understand that there will be those on the journey with me who are listening, who are watching, who are asking, and it is my responsibility to be present to them, to serve them in the moment so that they experience their personal breakthrough.
Wow, that is powerful. An invitation to discover who they are, their authentic selves.
Yeah, because real leadership is never motivating you to do anything. Sometimes I get lumped into the category of being a motivational speaker, but what I've discovered is I can't motivate you to do anything. I just have to extend an invitation for you to discover who you were meant to be. Because no matter what age or stage you might be in, you're never too old to become the person you might have been. So with that said, a leader, he or she understands that in your 20s, you think you know everything. In your 30s, you get the wind knocked out of your sail. In your 40s, you start to pull it all together. And in your 50s is when you draw a line in the sand and release the need to compare yourselves to others. And so real living really starts after 50. Because as you move from 50 to 60 to 70, you have 30 years of experience that you are now bringing forward to now discover your journey. So every leader has to extend an invitation to a person, no matter what they have experienced, success, failure, ups, downs, to discover who they were meant to be on the journey, on the path.
I love that living really starts after 50. That's exciting news for those of us who've reached that milestone. How do we take the opportunities that have been presented to us and, as you say, find that seed of brilliance? What comes to mind for me when I hear you talk about how Disney thinks of anything starts as a seed in the mind. And that is so powerful, because that's essentially what faith is: taking our ideas, stepping out on faith, discovering who we are, and the universe opens up and attracts to us, I think, that which enables us to find that brilliance within ourselves. What
Correct.
Would you say to someone who may be listening to this, who is inspired, but who feels like they've been searching for that seed, that brilliance within themselves, and haven't been able to locate it?
I would say three things. Number one, take out a sheet of paper and write down what's right about you. So many times the world creates a surround sound of what's wrong with us. And sometimes the voices of what's wrong become louder than what's right. Secondly, I would invite them to begin to think about what allows them to live and work in flow. When you listen to a singer, or you watch an athlete, or you watch a person who is doing something where they are a subject matter expert, it's effortless to them, and time ceases to exist. So that second step is to really think about, when am I in flow? When my head is aligned with my heart is aligned with my hands. And when I'm in that flow, it just comes through me. The third thing is, begin to ask those who you respect and who know you well, ask them, when you are in the zone, what are you doing? What are you saying? How are you acting? What's that specific activity that you are doing? And they become your focus group of one or two, where they begin to give you feedback on how you do what you do. Ask them, what do you talk about? And really begin to take those three steps and ask yourself, okay, so what can I do and what am I going to go after? Those would be some practical tips for everyone listening to us.
Thank you. Those are very practical and very thought-provoking. I think sometimes we often have a tendency in our society today to want somebody else to just hand us the answer. Just tell me what to do. Tell me what to think. Whereas the only way to discover that seed, to discover and develop your own consciousness, is to sit down and do some serious soul searching and thinking for yourselves. And these are three great steps for doing that. Thank you.
Okay.
Anne?
Yes, ma'am. I'm taking notes and I'm hanging on to every nugget. These are tweetable moments, if you will, because you have given us so very, very much to think about. What I'd like to do at this point, Thomasina, if you can help me go to the commercial, and then when we come back, I'd like for Simon to share with us, what do you do when your fear outpaces your faith?
Mm-hmm.
So with that, Thomasina, if you can just let us have another commercial. My studio just went blank. Thank you.
For those who may have just joined us, you're listening to today's edition of Think and Grow Rich, sponsored by the International Mastermind Association. Our very special guest today is Simon T. Bailey of Simon T. Bailey International, sharing with us his walk of faith. You may also join the conversation if you have a question or a comment for Mr. Bailey. Please press the number 1 on your phone. That raises your hand and will open your mic and allow you to join the conversation. You may also be interested to know about our January 5th, 2019 International Masterminders Think and Grow Rich Annual Meeting, which we will be hosting in Boca Raton, Florida. January 5th is the first Saturday of the new year. This is an opportunity to come together with like-minded people to set some very serious goals in 10 areas of your life. Your finances, yes, but not just your finances, also family, relationships, every area of your life. Set some goals and work with a group of people who can help you to hold yourself accountable for actually achieving those goals. And if you're not quite sure what you should do, what you might want to focus on, we'd suggest that you start out with the three steps that Mr. Bailey just shared with us. One, to sit down and think about what is right about you, what is positive about you, and then to think about what really excites you. What gets you excited? What gets you in the flow, in that zone where you're just clicking on all cylinders? And then a third suggestion is to ask other people who you're close to, who you respect, what do they see? Sometimes we can't see our own gifts and talents. What do they see? What are you doing? What are you saying when you're actually in that zone? That might be a great way to start thinking about the goals that you want to set for yourself. Lastly, we would invite you to join us next Saturday. We're here every Saturday morning at 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time on blogtalkradio.com. Back over to you, Anne.
All right. Thank you. And now, Simon, if you can share, you know, we talked about the faith walk, and you have had some experiences in both the faith mm-hmm. and the fear. So mm-hmm. what would you suggest our listeners should do when they find themselves in a situation where their fear is outpacing their faith?
Yeah, the first thing to realize, and we've heard it many times before, that fear is false evidence appearing real. And sometimes we put more faith in the false evidence appearing real that it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. So the first thing we have to do is we have to stop and we have to look fear in the face. Ask fear, who are you? Why are you chasing me? And I believe fear will say, I am your faith. Why are you running from me? And when we begin to have that conversation with the fear, we begin to minimize it and begin to maximize our faith, because fear will only take on the energy that we give it. So if we give more energy to the fear, then the story of fear, the voices of fear, the conversation of fear, and fearful people will begin to show up validating the faith in the fear. But the moment we say no to the fear, that we now are taking control by faith of who we are, who we intend to be, the difference we intend to make, now we are putting energy into the story, into the conversation, into the power of faith, and the faith in the future meets us in the present and says, welcome, I've been waiting for you. Because the whole job of fear is to keep us stuck in the past and in yesterday, and to stranglehold us in a straitjacket from getting till tomorrow. But the moment we say yes to our faith, we break out of the stranglehold, we break out of the straitjacket, and begin to create tomorrow today.
Wow. Wow. You know what? I think that no one listening to this show can ever say they have an excuse for why they do not understand and do not know what to do next in terms of putting that one step in front of the other and facing the fear. You know, oftentimes you've told a story about, what was chasing you in your story shared the point you're just making about, was it the dog or the lion? I forget.
Yes, so one of the stories that I tell in the book, Release Your Brilliance, is that man was having a reoccurring dream of a ferocious lion chasing him. And whenever he would have the dream, he would take off running, and one day he went to see a counselor. And the counselor said, the next time you have the dream, stop, face the lion, look the lion in the eye, and ask the lion, who are you? Why are you chasing me? So sure enough, this guy has this dream of this lion chasing him. So he takes off running. But then it dawns on him what the counselor says. So he stops, turns around, faces the lion, looks the lion in the eye, and says, who are you? Why are you chasing me? And the lion says, I'm your strength and courage. Why are you running from me?
Love that.
Wow.
Powerful. Powerful.
And so with that being said, we are joined, Thomasina, by also Angelique. She just shared, so I'm not sure. You can press 1 and let us know, Angelique, or text Thomasina. Let her know if you did have a question. Simon, you have a new book that's out. Can you share with our listening audience the title of the book, and what motivated you to write this one?
Yeah, the book is called Shift Your Brilliance, Harness the Power of You, Incorporate It. And what I discovered after writing Release Your Brilliance, that we are now living in a world of autonomous cars, automation, and algorithms. And there are some people that want broadband results for where the world is going, but they're still holding on to dial-up methods and how they do what they do. So Shift Your Brilliance is the framework, it is the mindset, the skill set, and the will set on how do I take what I do really well, doesn't matter what industry I might be in, and how do I make that shift to go where things are going so that I am relevant and I create the future instead of waiting for the future to be created for me. So that's what that particular book is about.
Now, for those who are listening and you're really enjoying what Simon is sharing, Simon, can you share with our listeners how can they reach you? Because I just want to make sure that we pay it forward and share, because you've shared with us so much today, and we'd love for people to find you if it is a corporation, an organization, an association, or just executives. How can they find you?
Sure. They can go to simontbailey.com. That's our website. And certainly they can follow me on LinkedIn, Facebook, or Twitter at Simon T. Bailey. And the T is for terrific. Just kidding. Just, you know, dry humor for you.
Well, no, I do not think that you are kidding, because you are terrific. And you know, when you said that, you reminded me, oh, I have to share this story. Oh, wow. You just reminded me of the first time I met you and Charlie Tremendous Jones at a National Speakers Association. And I never shared this with you, but my daughter,
right,
Ione, was being coached by Dr. Tina Dupree.
Right.
And she was 12, and Dr. Dupree shared with her that she needed to come to the conference. So I didn't drive. I mean, she didn't drive at 12. Of course, I had to bring her, mm-hmm, and the conference happened to have been in Orlando.
Mm-hmm.
So this had to be in the early 90s, even. Mm-hmm. So anyway, it was at the Marriott Hotel, and when I walked into the hotel, this is the scene that I saw. I saw a white man that was about 6'4". He looked like he was 7 feet to me at the moment, okay? So I saw this white man, the back of a black man that he had picked up, and all I could see was feet dangling back and forth as he was giving a bear hug to the black man. And Simon T. Bailey, that man was you. And the other man was Charlie Tremendous Jones. And I tell you, my life has been impacted by both of you. And that was my introduction to the National Speakers Association. I was there just only to bring my child, and my whole life has been changed. So when you said that T, automatically Charlie came to mind. We really miss him.
Mm-hmm.
Special spirit.
Absolutely.
Special spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Well, we're going to prepare to wrap up the show. What I'd like to do at this point
is find out, Thomasine, I was
just getting ready to say, if you have anything else you'd like to share, and then we're going to ask Simon to close us out with any words of encouragement he'd like to share. So please go ahead, Thomasine.
I'd like to give this opportunity to Angelique Frost, who has joined us. She has been listening with great enthusiasm and actually has a question for Mr. Bailey. Angelique?
Hi, good morning. Oh, my gosh, it has been such of an experience. I feel like for some reason we're all sitting at a table discussing this like one-on-one. It's been so enlightening. Thank you so much. The question that I would have for you would be, you know, like when you first begin to figure out that you're doing, or in your journey, when you figured out, hey, this isn't what I want to be doing, and
mm-hmm,
you decided to take that leap of faith and say, this is what I'm going to do. At the
mm-hmm
beginning of that, was there like a moment where you were sure that that was what you wanted to do? Or did it just come once you begin moving on that road? That would be my question.
Yeah, so what I've discovered in my journey, it's the latter. You get out and you take a step, you take a risk, and as you put one foot in front of the other, your faith starts to build. And as your faith starts to build, you find your confidence. And as you find your confidence, you find your voice. When you find your voice, you find your chutzpah. When you find your chutzpah, you find your people. So you can't get to your people until you find your chutzpah, which is that inner gut power and energy, which ties to your confidence, which ties to your voice. And the more you get up every single day and you make that step towards the possibility that you want, that's when you become more anchored in it. That's when it becomes more real for you. And as it becomes more real for you, that's when all of the naysayers, their voices begin to diminish, and the voices of the future begin to empower you from the inside out, saying, yes, you can, yes, you will, and you stay the course. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. So mine was a two-headed question. The second piece of that, thank you for that information, would be, you know, if it's a burning desire, so say, for example, if you may be wanting to get into something that you have no background, no educational piece, no training, do you feel as though if it becomes a burning desire and you get on that road, do you feel like the universe will give you whatever it is that your heart desires?
Absolutely. 80% of your nervous system is in your gut. Your gut knows more than the data or the analytics knows, because your gut is your instinct. And when you follow your gut instinct, you may not have subject matter expertise in an area, but if there is something that continues to bother you, and when I say bother you, not in a bad way, it continues to stay on your mind. Everywhere you look, you see it. That is a God wink. That is a sign that you need to move in that direction of curiosity for what you will discover along the path. And here's what I've come to realize in the last 15 years. When you begin to follow after the thing you want the most, people will begin to show up in your space, in your force field, almost as if you have drawn them to you, because as you are walking in blind faith, you don't know what you don't know, but you know you don't know what you don't know, but you're open for what wants to emerge. All of a sudden, people will show up with pieces of information that help you get down the path, down the journey of life. And as you begin to apply what they have said and do it, it builds your faith, it builds your confidence, and you just keep moving, because what happens is the GPS of the universe is leading you with breadcrumbs of possibility, and you can see the bakery in your spirit, but the breadcrumbs are there to help nudge you in the direction that you're heading the right way.
Oh my gosh, I so receive everything that you just said, and I'm living it, so I know it's true. Thank you so much. Thank you.
All right. Well, Simon, if you would like to share any closing remarks before we wrap up, this has been an awesome show. We want to thank all of our listeners who've chimed in and our special guest, Simon T. Bailey. You're terrific. How about that? Any closing
remarks? Well, first
remarks?
Of all, yes, thank you for having me on the show. I really appreciate the opportunity. And let me just say to everyone that's listening to us around the world, there will come a moment in time where you will be invited to do something. And everyone in your sphere of influence may not agree with the thing that you're supposed to do. But here are the three things I want you to remember. Number one, people don't see you as you are. They see you as they are. And sometimes you can have a 50 by 60 dream, but you associate with people that have 8 by 10 thinking. I invite you to get around folks who have an 80 by 20 reality so that they can pull you up and you not diminish that dream that that's in you. That's number one. Number two, I would invite you to begin to read every book, listen to every video, begin to find every podcast or audio clip that speaks to the destiny that wants to come out of you, because the one thing I know to be for sure, when you do what you're supposed to do, there's something called timing, and you don't want to miss your timing, because the moment you miss your timing, it throws everything off. But when you align with the timing of what you're supposed to do, all of a sudden it may not make sense, but you continue to walk it out and good things happen. So don't stop, don't turn around, don't give up. And the third and final thing is, I may not know you, and we may not ever meet, but I want you to remember, I love you and I believe in you, and there's not a darn thing you can do about it. Because it doesn't matter your ethnicity or where you are in the universe right now or what zip code you might be from. The reality is you weren't born in the 18th century just because you weren't needed. You exist now in this century because we need you, I need you, to be your most brilliant self.
Wow, what better way to close? That was Simon T. Bailey, and you can find him at his website at Simon, SimonTBailey.com. Thank you so very much, Simon, and we want to thank all of our listeners, and join us again every Saturday for our Think and Grow Rich Mastermind Accountability Blog Talk Radio Show.
For more information about the International Mastermind Association, visit internationalmasterminders.com or on Facebook, visit the group International Mastermind Association. The name of the book is Think and Grow Rich, the original version restored and revised by Napoleon Hill. ISBN 1-593-30-2002. That ISBN number again, 1-593-30-2002.